Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Slave of a Heathen Master? Today's message is based on two readings. The first is from Daniel 8, verses 15 through 27. The second, 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 and 2. But let us open with prayer. Father, we praise you. Through your word and Holy Spirit, you created all things. You reveal your salvation in a world by sending us to Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Through your Holy Spirit, you gave us a share in your life and love. So fill us with the vision of your glory, that we may always serve and praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So let us turn in our Bibles now to Daniel 8, verse 15. Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, and he called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright. And he said, Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. The ram which you saw, having the two horns. These are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in his place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not his own power. He shall destroy fearfully. He shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and the mornings which he told was true. Therefore seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterwards I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. So today we're celebrating both Pentecost Sunday, which was actually last Sunday, but it's so important that we will visit it today. And this is a very significant day in the life of the church and should not be skipped. Pentecost was actually a day in the Jewish Festival of Weeks. This was a required festival for every Jew. If you lived close, you must attend. If you lived a way out, you must attend at least part of the festival. And if you lived far away, you were required to attend at least once in your lifetime. The city of Jerusalem would be packed with visitors from every corner of the world. Now today is Trinity Sunday, which is a Christian festival widely celebrated by the Western churches. It falls on the first Sunday after Pentecost, which is the 50th day after Easter. Today honors the descent of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' apostles and followers. Trinity Sunday, in its essence, celebrates the mystery of the faith and unity on and of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is never mentioned in Scripture, but Christians celebrate it in God's love for humanity because of their faith and utmost appreciation for the Trinity itself. Trinity Sunday teaches us about the oneness of God in His three forms of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This festival is the only festival that celebrates a doctrine or idea instead of a figure or an event. So more later. So as we return to Daniel, our last message on this, Daniel had a vision of a ram and a goat. But now Daniel gets a very special interpreter to help him with the meaning. And we begin today with, "It happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and seeking the meaning, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I hear a voice between the banks calling, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.'" This is the first ever actual naming of the angel Gabriel, which means strength of God. He is mentioned by name only here and three other places, in chapter 9 and twice in chapter 1 of Luke. So who is Gabriel? Gabriel is exclusively presented as a bearer of God's messages to man. First, he appears twice to the prophet Daniel, and then to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist in Luke, and lastly, he appears to Mary, the virgin mother of Christ. Gabriel was the one to tell Mary to name the baby Jesus. He also gave her the news that Jesus would reign over a kingdom without end. Gabriel is not mentioned as a warrior angel like Michael. Many suggest that he is God's personal messenger, though this is never stated. Anyway, Daniel has some very special help in both this and in us in understanding this vision. Gabriel then says, "Understand, son of man, the vision refers to the time of the end." Now again, we have a rather cryptic statement as to when these things will occur, to the time of the end. Another way to say this is the end times. Remember, we find much of what will occur in the book of Revelation in Daniel. And this vision is referring to the last days as we find in this book. This is not the day of the Lord, for this phrase may easily refer to a period of time which is to come, and maybe we are in it today. Another of those vague phrases that we will never fully understand until that day is upon us. Be ready for that day, for it is of great importance in the destination in eternity for you. We discussed much of this last time, but now we have it directly from God. The fall of the Persians, the rise of Alexander, then his fall and the division of his kingdom. And then we have Antiochus with all his great evil. He is the namesake for the city of Antioch. As this selection clearly states, he did not die by human hands, but of a sickness while on campaign against the Parthians in what is now Russia. We continue, "Through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper in his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. He shall be broken without human means." We can now see in our day how evil uses deceit to fool people into making their own destruction. Many people or nations will more easily fall if the rot comes from within. The rot forms from our giving up on the qualities that made us great in the first place, and then out of self-interest, abandoning good, then willingly accepting evil. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, the precursor to an antichrist, willing to choose to defy God, the prince of princes, and was suitably eliminated by God and not by any human intervention. It is said that the disease that took Antiochus out was very painful, so God saw that he paid fully for his rebellion. And this verse speaks truth in today's world, where people use cunning in place of truth, where deceit is called honesty, and as a result, we see our prosperity being destroyed. It is almost as if Daniel was a time traveler and saw our world in his vision. Today the world has risen in opposition to Christ and all that Christ means in order to lead us even further away from God. But have heart. This effort will be broken without human means. It may be revival, it may be the second coming, but know this, read the last chapter. God wins. We close this vision with the command of Gabriel and the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told is true. Seal up the vision. It refers to many days in the future. Daniel was told to not share this vision openly, as it was to come many days in the future. This tells me that we are not to put such effort into these readings that we do not live our lives every day. Many are consumed with attempting to draw conclusions as to date and time of these events, ignoring the command of God, and in using their remaining time unwisely. That this day will come is certain. We should be prepared for it. It may be today, tomorrow. However, our days are not to be spent depending on this day to be now, but to live each and every day fully in service to God, placing ourselves closer every day, growing in our faith, that we may be found worthy on that day. Now, turning to 1 Timothy 6, Paul continues his instruction, "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things." So as we turn now to Paul's first letter to Timothy, we begin the very last chapter. Paul addresses the position of slavery in Timothy's church. So he says, "Let as many bondservants are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor." First, in this translation, we refer to bondservants and not slaves. So what is the difference and why even discuss? A slave, of which there were about 60 million in the Roman Empire at this time, was property and not considered human. A bondservant was someone who entered an agreement for a certain length of time to serve a master. Then they would be freed. However, during the time of servitude, they would be treated as any other slave, even to punishment by death. So we do not have a number as to how many bondservants there were. They could have been counted in the number of slaves, or were totally ignored, or they were combined in different ways. But there were many. So why would any sane person enter into such an agreement? And generally there are two causes: poverty and seeking an opportunity for improvement. First, let's look at poverty. Better to work as a slave than to starve. And this is a hard thought for us, who are well cared for and live in relative luxury. We have enough to eat and have a roof over our heads, things these people could only dream about. In general, life in this time was harsh, except for the elites and the wealthy. Often, if the master was fair, when the agreed time was up, the servant would reenlist to continue his situation. Next is to learn a trade. Like an apprentice, you get an education that you, when released, have the ability to make it on your own. Often the master and former slave would work together, as it was not uncommon for the former slave to inherit what the master had at his death. While the news is full of references to slavery today, does it really exist? Legally, it has been outlawed since the mid-1800s. England outlawed slavery way before we did, but most of the world soon followed, but not all. Slavery, the bondage of another human being, is still legal in large portions of the world officially, mostly in Muslim nations or those ruled by Sharia law. Then we have the illegal slave trade that exists in most of the world in the shadows, usually sanctioned unofficially by those governments. Now this can be labor that is treated harshly. It can be in the sex trades where young people are taken and sold and utilized in business. But don't even think that this only occurs in faraway places. It is happening right here in America, and very likely in the Shenandoah Valley. Slavery is a physical system, but it's far more than that. It is a failure of morality. It is a spiritual condition. Slavery is when one human puts themselves above another and forces the oppressed one to serve. Today we don't see it with whips, but with ideologies. Minds are confused with thoughts that make us want to serve something that is false. The ideologues use education, guilt, misinformation, and deceit to mold people's thoughts to conform to what is wanted by those in control. And yes, we have that word deceit again. Slavery today is when those in power force conformity through a variety of means to get what they want at our expense. So how can a generation become so perverse as to forsake what is good and then impose on others that which is bad? We are there. The whole gender confusion thing is an example. Physical gender is pretty evident. Even biological gender is easily determined and scientifically measurable. Yet today, parents will submit their children to gender change by giving them puberty blocker drugs to delay onset of maturity that they can more effectively alter the child's appearance. It has been recently made known that these puberty blocker drugs are the same that were previously used to chemically castrate criminals and sex offenders. Parents today are actively castrating their children, removing their ability to ever have children of their own out of a misguided thought to be more inclusive. In other words, when these children get older and then they decide that they were right all along, the damage is already done, and they will never be able to restore themselves to how God created them. This is the epitome of deceit and falseness. Satan has stolen souls, both of the children and the parents. Confusion is complete. Now, try to tell me this is not a spiritual battle. Tell me these children are not slaves. Paul's intent in this selection is not to address slavery. If he had, the church would have been destroyed. For slavery was so ingrained in society, they would never allow it to be abolished. Plus, it would have cost the slave owners a lot of money. Rather, Paul is telling Timothy how to live as Christians in an evil world that concluded slavery. First, count their masters worthy of all honor. If you are under the authority of a master, treat that person with respect and honor. Do your job well every day. We are all put into a position or situation that we do not like, but a Christian will perform well in any situation. Live life well as you can within your limits and abilities. Should a slave dishonor God to serve his master? But this is where we are today. The core answer is no. A Christian must never dishonor God. It will mean you can be fired from your job, forced out of your home, or even killed, none of which are desirable. But being a true servant of God will have its undesirable effects. Christ warned us of this. Now, Paul's answer is to never give the evil master the opportunity or reason to bring you to attention. Do what is asked within reason, profit the master, and he will leave you alone. Oppose the master, and he will come for you. Sounds like our January 6th congressional hearing. Satan is attempting to bring us into disadvantage today using class warfare, dividing us from our brothers and sisters through focusing on our differences and initiating hatred. Race against race, gender identity, poor against wealthy, and it goes on. God desires us to join in our commonality, especially in faith. When you see something wrong, consider God, how he would desire us to behave. So what if your master is a brother in Christ? How do you behave then? We should count their own masters worthy of all honor. Don't expect special favor status. Don't work less, but more. This goes against all human nature. We all seek special attention and favor, but if we are truly Christ, our lives should be directed toward the bringing glory to Christ and not self. Find contentment in your life and make your best effort to serve and not be served. So today is Trinity Sunday, and this is the most confusing aspect of our faith in the modern world. How can one entity actually be three? The world tries to rationalize everything in human concepts and not give God the credit that he is due. So how does it work? That's not important. That it is. It's very, very important. A thorough examination of Scripture clearly states the existence of God in three persons from Genesis to Revelation. You just have to pay attention. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now turning to Pentecost 2 from Acts, the Pentecost passage. In the first ever recorded Christian sermon, does Peter speak in terms of feelings, emotions, and vague thoughts about what he believed? No. He quoted Scripture from the prophet Joel, Scripture that the crowd would recognize about prophecy of the coming Messiah. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. We now have the day of the Lord. Peter does not promise rose gardens, but salvation to those who recognize and believe in Jesus of Nazareth, destruction for those who deny Christ. This was a promise and a threat. And then what shall we do? These are the very words used by the people in Jerusalem on that first day of Pentecost. And from verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? We should read our Bibles. We should pray over what we read. The power of the Holy Spirit was not just for that one day in history, but is a force believers can call upon in times of pain, need, distress, and confusion. It is here in this room at this moment, not just as wind and fire, but in our hearts. We must open our hearts to Christ and invite Him in. We must listen. Then we must share what we find in Christ. Go out. Do we as a church live as if this is the day of Pentecost? Do we live knowing that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives? Do we know who our Master really is? Have we allowed ourselves to become a slave of a heathen master? We today don't have the consequence of physical slavery, but even worse, we are submitting to Satan and his slavery that leads to damnation. And this is far worse. Today, dedicate yourself to Christ. Discover your true master. Then live in honor and servitude to him. From Daniel today, we learn how evil is promoted through cunning and deceit, the same tools in use today to lead us astray. So in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Christ, the risen Son, and all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. May God the Holy Trinity make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. And the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the text and video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old story that I've loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.